Today on Real Radio.
Some guy tonight said, I brought my camera tonight. I thought you were going to slit the throat of that lamb. I brought my camera. I said, didn't you know I was joking when I said that? No. I felt really bad because he said, I believe what you're telling me. And I thought I was gonna, I thought you were going to kill this thing. I had my camera ready. And I was just thinking, well, yeah, I'd better be in jail right about now. Some one of you animal activists would have. Can you imagine? Pastor, Calvary Chapel, arrested for brutally mutilating a lamb as hundreds look on. The Old Testament dispensation, it was hard.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament book of Ephesians. We've been exploring the first part of chapter 3, which we'll continue to do so today. The context so far is that the Gentile and the Messianic Jew are now worshiping together because Messiah has come. Let's continue in this series called The Mysterious Work of God. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
I don't know if you know this or not. You know the word amusement, amusement park? It's pretty funny. Amusement park. You see, to muse is a good thing. To muse, we were hearing at the close of the communion service tonight, we heard the instrumental, the music being played, and we were musing. You didn't know it, did you? But that's what you were doing. You were musing all over this place tonight. And that is, oh, Lord, oh, I'm just thinking about your goodness. God, thank you. Taking communion tonight, God, we're not even worthy to be called your children. Thank you, God. You're so gracious, long-suffering, and free. That's musing. You're musing. But to amuse is to unplug your brain. You ever seen your TV at like 3:45 in the morning? It's just, that's amuse. It's nothingness. Amusement park is a place where people have no brains. That's what it means. You're not thinking, it's where you've gone to totally unplug. You're just gone. And at, where do you want to go? Want to go over there? Amusement park. That's what it means. Amuse. No, the Lord says, set your mind on things that are above. Entertain things that are heavenly in your thoughts. What's godly? What's God doing? That's what we're to be doing as a believer. Philippians 4:8. Paul says again, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, pure, lovely, of a good report, if there's any virtue, if you're ever in prison, meditate on these things. If you're ever behind on your payments, meditate on these things. If you've been told today that you have cancer, meditate on these things. God is never idle. He's never sleeping on the job. He's always listening. He's always waiting. And He'll fill our thoughts with things that are precious to Him. But you can't stop a man like this. And this is the view. Paul's an example of what kind of perspective we should have as a Christian. And the same Holy Spirit that dwelt inside him lives inside you. Lives inside me. And so the Lord always comes back to me and says, I'm no respecter of persons, Jack. Yes, sir. Then what's your problem? I'm unbelieving, sir. And then he says, just follow me. Listen to this. How can he live like this? This guy's incredible. He says that he's a prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. What incredible freedom. That's why he was in prison, was for these guys. And listen, he was at absolute liberty while he was bound in prison physically. And he says it's for you Gentiles. And the tradition of Judaism, the traditions in the Mishnah and the traditional Jew believed that the Gentiles, we're not going to deny their existence. We see Gentiles, they're everywhere. And when we see them, we'll pull our robes in and we won't touch a Gentile. We know they're alive. Yes, we know that God created them, a Jew would say. But we know why God created them. And they believed that Jews were created to be fuel for hell. They kind of like made it hotter. That's why God made Gentiles, to make the flames hotter. Well, how does that make you feel? But that's what they thought. Paul's in prison because he ministered to the Gentiles, knowing that God wanted to save the Gentiles. Paul was free to minister to the Gentiles because he knew that what God knew, and that was God loved them. God loved us. And that love transcends all of the racial, all of the social barriers that man can put up. Last Sunday, there was a guy walking out of this church, and he was a black guy. And I don't know why, the moment I saw him, he just seemed familiar to me. So he was walking by, big smile, how you doing? I said, well, how you doing? Gave him a hug, and his mother, I think it was mom, or I don't know who, whatever. Anyway, they just walked on. I was thinking, that guy seems familiar. Well, whatever. But you know, this is neat. I'm white, he's black, Bible in hand. Who cares? You know, the blood is red. And then it dawned on me, this guy's on a TV program. He's on one of the real super funny programs that are on right now. And he was visiting the church. But the thing was hey, God bless you. God bless you. How you doing? Great. God bless you. Just, you know, neat. And I love that. That's what Jesus does. He breaks down all that garbage. And Paul saw the Gentile, just like the Jew, needing Christ Jesus. No problem. But that's why he was in prison. Other people didn't see it that way, but he was so free. Paul wasn't in bondage. He was free to minister. Are you in bondage tonight? Can you walk like Jesus walked? Are you free to walk like Jesus walked? Are you free to walk like Paul walked? What about doing the things that Jesus did? Paul strived and longed to do the things that Jesus did. Paul says, listen, you guys, can you imagine? Hey, this is what you want to say. Paul said, hey, all you guys, follow me. He said, walk like me. And he turned and he walked away, and everybody walked like Paul. They did. He would walk following Christ, and they would follow right behind him. And Paul says, walk like me as I follow the Lord. Because that was Paul's passion, is to follow Jesus. So the people followed him. And the beautiful thing is, you quickly found out that Paul was not in bondage. Paul was such a radical born-again Jew that when a bunch of Gentiles were around, Paul would first of all look very discreetly, wouldn't like say, hold it, I've got to check if there's any Jewish brethren around. No, he just kind of, And here's what he's thinking. Read the book of Romans, the last three chapters. Paul looks around and he's looking. Hey, I don't see any Gentiles. I mean, I don't see any Jewish brethren around here. And I can smell right now, listen, barbecue, lobster, clams. They got a great pork roast going on over here. And I don't see any of the brethren around here. So I'm going to dive into this stuff. And Paul was as kosher as you can get. And man, Paul picked up a slab of ham and a lobster. Got some garlic and butter on that baby. And then he's just eating it up. And praise the Lord, he had that liberty in Jesus Christ. He made sure, though, he wasn't going to stumble anybody first. That was his first concern. Read Romans. Don't stumble anybody in your freedom. Paul was very careful. Paul said, listen, if me eating meat stumbles you, I won't eat meat again. That's power. That's also freedom. Eric Hoffa said, the best test of freedom is not in what you are free to do, but what you are free not to do. Go figure that one out. The best test of freedom is not in what you are free to do. That's vandalism. Wildness. Revelry. No, no. True freedom is, I don't have to do that. I'm truly set free. People partying down the street. People tugging on you. Come on, let's go party. Why? They're partying down the street. Come on, let's have a good time. I'm having a good time. Well, get plastered like us, will you? I don't need to get plastered. I've done all that. It doesn't work. It's nothing. I'm praising the Lord. I've got joy in my heart. Oh, come on. Draw a line, will you? Drink something. Do it. Don't need to. The best test of freedom is what you are free not to do. When the world says, party, do you have to run with them and say, okay, well, where are we going? We're going off the cliff. Let's go. Or can you say, hey, I don't need to do this? A friend of mine was talking to a friend of theirs. Went to university, and everybody on a certain night, it's you put your name in a hat kind of a thing, and at the end of the party, people draw names, and you go home with that person. Do you think that's bad? I think that's bad, but I don't think it's nearly as bad as I recently heard of a church, Married Couples Fellowship. A church where they put their house keys in a hat. And they drew house keys and you went home with the person that belonged to. A church. That's from hell. And the world, that's what the world's doing. And you might say, oh man, that sounds pretty cool. Then you're of the world, man. You are as lost as you can possibly be. Well, come on, everyone's doing it. Everyone's going to hell too. Jesus said it's really broad. And a lot of people are going that way. Paul was so free. He wasn't into bondage in anything. Are you into bondage to something tonight? Or are you free? Can you walk away without it having tentacles on your life? Paul was so free. Paul would say, I am what I am by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's true. But he also believed that he was who he was for the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 2. If indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God. What in the world does that mean? Dispensation simply means this. It's a household term. It's a domestic term. It pertains to a structure or rules or a house or an economy, a system. It also can be translated a management or a stewardship. So listen to it again. If indeed you have heard about the management or the system of the grace of God, what's he meaning? Hey, God saves now. He's saving by the grace of God. It's grace. That means you don't clean up your act and come to Christ. You come as wretched as you are. You come. Are you a big sinner tonight? Jesus says, come on. Well, I'm a big one. All big ones. Come forward. I'm the worst. The worst ones. Come forward. I don't think God can save me because I'm so bad. The ones who think they're so bad. Come forward, please. That's how he is. The dispensation of grace. God opens a door. It's like he opens a brand new page and he says, this is how I will now work. The Old Testament was man's way of being faithful to creeds and to orders to approach me. It's what I established. That's how it is. But now I have a new covenant. Jesus took the cup that night and the bread and he said, this is the New Testament that is in my blood. Brand new. Well, how does it work? By the dispensation of grace. God opens up a new page and he says, I'm going to deal with these Gentiles. And through the church age, nearly 2,000 years old, Man, it's radical. Aren't you glad you were born now? What if I had to, what if we're going to slit, some guy tonight said, I brought my camera tonight. I thought you were going to slit the throat of that lamb. I brought my camera. I said, didn't you know I was joking when I said that? No. I felt really bad because he said, I believe what you're telling me. And I thought, I thought you were going to kill this thing. I had my camera ready. And I was just thinking, well, yeah, I'd better be in jail right about now. Some one of you animal activists would have. Can you imagine? Pastor, Calvary Chapel, arrested for brutally mutilating a lamb as hundreds look on. The Old Testament dispensation, it was hard. It was tough. Jesus says, put away your sheep. Put away your knives. Put away your basins. Jesus said, put away your priests. Because the great high priest, according to Hebrews chapter 9 and 10, has come. He says, no longer, no more confession to priest, I've come. No more sacrifices, I've come. No more offerings or penance, I've come. You simply speak to me. You don't need to go through someone anymore. You can talk and pray to him yourself. He listens. This time that God has set for his specific activity or work is known as the church age or the age of grace. Or you can say, in theological, doctrinal terms, the dispensation of grace. That's what Paul's talking about. God has chosen, while you and I have been alive, to deal with us on gracious terms. Because if he wasn't, today at 11:05, 3:16, wherever you were at, whenever you thought that thought or did that sin, God would have just said, you know what, I don't see, did he, Gabriel, miss the last offering? And just fry you on the spot. He could do it. It's nothing. Gone. He could do it. But you're covered in the blood of Jesus Christ tonight. Jesus went through all the stuff on the cross so that we wouldn't have to during this dispensation of grace. And it is grace that will lead us all the way through into heaven. Well, I'm not doing very good as a believer. Grace is going to take you all the way through. Well, I'm having a rough time. Grace. It's grace. What is grace? Dispensation of grace? It is the, get it, memorize this. It's worth it. Grace, the unearned, undeserving favor from God, the divine influence upon the human heart, and its reflection in the life of the believer, including gratuity. Offered back. Thank you, God. I understand your grace. Wow, thank you. Amazing. And then finally this. He says that this grace of God, which was given to me for you, that's Paul's ministry. The guy just, and this is the key to Christian success, people. If you will right now write a check for $150, no, I'm kidding. I've always wanted to do that. I saw that on TV. I just... TBN. That's where I saw that. Those guys, we've got faith. In our faith. We have faith in our faith, and we want you to have faith like we do. And then the guy comes at the close of the program. We're going to make you an offer for your faith to grow. You see, the ministry is not doing well here. And we need your money. God needs your seed of faith. And if you don't send money, this ministry will fold and it'll be your fault. And I want to grab the screen and really say, you slimy wolf snake in the grass, why don't you practice what you preach and have a little faith? We're not asked to be on Christian TV. That's an amazing thing. Listen. Paul says, it was given to me. I didn't drive around town. I didn't build it up on a hill. I gave it away to you. That's the ministry. You want Christian success? Find out what your gift is in the body of Jesus Christ. And even if you don't know. Most believers in here don't know. Did you know that? You thought you were the only one who didn't know, didn't you? Most believers don't know. You know how you find out? Respond to a need. That's how you find out. It's a trick. God's so cool. When you hear about a need and you go, oh, hey, there's a need over there. He's working in you. There's 100 needs that go across the screen or the ear or the face and the announcement, whatever, and you don't pay attention to them. None of them just grab you. And then there's one that grabs you. And you go, hey, there's a need over there. I think I'm going to go help. That's the Holy Spirit working in you. He's got the gift in you. And by you responding to the need that you think you're just being a really nice guy, God is working in you and you find out, I love what I'm doing. This is great. And I've never had more joy in my life. I'm growing. I'm being stretched. Sometimes I feel like I'm going to die. But it's total joy. It's incredible. You find out. That's how you find out your gift. But if you sit around on your concordance all day, you're never going to find out. You won't know. You won't know at all. And so you need to ask Him, and you need to be like Paul. Listen, you give it away, and God will fill you up. You give it away, God will fill you up. You give it away, God will fill you up. It's the way He works. He is a God who does mysterious things. Mysterious things.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation taken from the first three verses of Ephesians 3. On tomorrow's edition of Real Radio, we'll continue with more. Now, before we wrap up today's program, we want to take a moment to bring a critical issue to your attention. Now, as you know, November 4th is Election Day for all of us, and in California, we have an issue on the ballot that will affect all churches and believers. Even if you don't live in California, it's important to understand this proposition because, unfortunately, sooner rather than later, all states will have to deal with its issues. Proposition 8 will determine whether homosexual marriage will be an authorized union sanctioned by the state. Remember, if Proposition 8 is defeated, the implications are more serious than most of us realize, so we've set up a special website to provide answers to questions that you may have, or to point friends and relatives that live in California. Even if you don't live in California, visit realradioactive.org, and you'll be able to click on the website and see videos of Pastor Jack answering questions sent in by viewers and listeners. Again, if you don't live in California, still, visit realradioactive.org and forward that information to your friends and family that do live in this part of the country. Again, realradioactive.org. Get in touch with us by telephone. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. And remember, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.